Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Only two more sleeps till Christmas. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, December 23rd. Coming up today, we'll hear from the boss of Folkestone and Hythe Council, where do not swim orders are in place, about the hikes for water bills over the next 5 years. We'll also have reaction from the Gillingham manager after their Friday night draw. But first, taking a look at our top story today. A Canterbury man who was involved in the infamous gang attack on a German student has again been spared jail after glassing a man at a pub. Michael Murray has been back in court following a number of offences. Nicola has more details for the podcast. She's with me now. First of all, Nicola, what do we know about Michael's past?
Well, Michael was one of nine people involved in the racially motivated attack on 17-year-old Daniel Ezzedine in Canterbury city centre in June 2019. Daniel was left disabled with a life-limiting brain injury and needing round-the-clock care from his family following a beating which involved a bag of bricks and full-force kicks to the head. For his part in the attack, Michael, who was 18 at the time, was handed a 15-month spell in a young offenders institution, but the term was suspended for 2 years. At the time of sentencing, the judge told him it was a last and final chance to mend and change his ways, and that he needed to grow up and be a good father to his then unborn child.
But his offending didn't stop there.
No, a court's heard on April the 6th this year, the 22-year-old glassed a man at the Seven Stars Bar in Canterbury, and when police raided his home on an unrelated matter 10 days later, it was discovered he was keeping an XL bully but didn't have an exemption certificate. Then on April the 19th, he appeared before magistrates who gave him another suspended sentence order for six offences relating to drugs, violence and driving matters. Less than a month later, he broke two doors and a window at his grandparents' home in St Gregory's Road and threatened to smash in a neighbour's face while armed with knives. Murray was arrested and later pleaded guilty to two offences of affray, one of criminal damage, one of possessing a fighting dog, and breach of an SSO.
And the judge has again spared him jail.
That's right. The judge found Michael, who has no fixed address, could be spared custody once again to be given what was described as a tougher punishment. His defence asked if he'd be given a community-based punishment because he'd matured while on remand, serving what was the equivalent of a 14-month sentence. The judge agreed and handed down a 12-month jail term suspended for 18 months. She also said if he reduces his drug use, he has a realistic chance of rehabilitation and could stop offending and become a useful member of the community.
And were there any conditions imposed?
Yes, he'll have to undertake drug rehab for 18 months, 30 days of activity requirements and 200 hours of unpaid work. He also has to pay £200 for the dog offences and must obtain the exemption certificate or face the dog being destroyed. He's also been warned this really is the final chance.
Thanks, Nicola.
Kent Online News.
A teenage takeaway driver has avoided jail after a crash in Sandwich left a woman with life-changing injuries. Nicole Brocaine was driving on the wrong side of the road when she struck the pedestrian as she crossed No Name Street in February. The 19-year-old, who lives in Bramley Close in Ashe, was given a suspended sentence. She must do unpaid work and rehab and has been banned from driving for a year. A court's been hearing how a thief targeted the same co-op in Whitstable seven times to steal nearly £800 worth of goods. Lee Trigaskis took coffee, food and cleaning products between June and July this year and was arrested after being recognised on CCTV footage. The 33-year-old, who lives in Westgate-on-Sea, will be sentenced in the new year. A 15-year-old boy has been arrested after a motorbike was stolen in Tunbridge. The red Honda had been parked on the high street when it was taken last Wednesday afternoon. The suspect was detained less than an hour later. He's been released on bail. A suspected drug dealer from Canterbury has been hauled before magistrates after an admin error showed he'd breached his curfew. Sam Whittle is currently on bail after being charged for supplying cocaine and heroin and was initially under orders to be home between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. each day. The 23-year-old, who lives in Wincheap, successfully managed to have the times changed to 8 a.m. to 8 p.m, but no one told police. The court says it was an unfortunate error.
Kent Online News.
The Kent Online podcast has been told serious discussions need to be had around the future of the water industry, how it's run and regulated. It comes just days after it was revealed bills would be going up over the next 5 years. Southern Water has been allowed the biggest hike at 53%. Jim Martin is the leader of Folkestone Council, where no swim warnings are in force for beaches in Dimchurch and Littlestone.
I meet with Southern Water probably more than any other agency. You know, I listen to what they've had to to say, I take it on board. I have all of the technical discussions. I've met their engineers, their marine biologists. I've met them all. And don't get me wrong, they're putting plenty of effort into solving these problems, but it's 40 years too late. It's 40 years too late. The whole system is falling to bits. It's not just Dymchurch. Deal has now got no swim notices on. There's an increasing number of beaches that are becoming so polluted, and that's because there's been a consistent discharge of sewage into the sea. And, you know, it's got to go somewhere.
Would you support calls to bring water companies back under public ownership?
There's got to be change, right? There's got to be. The current system is clearly broken. Reprivatise, I'd have to see the numbers. I mean, we would be talking a colossal amount of money, and my primary concern is that all of the investors, they would walk away free. And they would walk away with large sums of money that they've been getting in dividends over 40 years. And I'm not talking about, you know, a simple private investor. I'm talking about large hedge funds, pension funds, et cetera, et cetera. They would walk away with the cash in the bank, you know, which would be great. And if we don't pay this as customers, we'll pay it as taxpayers. Water is an essential service. It has to be paid for. There's no doubt about that. But what's happened over the last 40 years is as the water companies drove up their levels of debt, they borrowed more and more money simply to pay out more and more dividends, higher and higher our higher salaries. This has meant effectively the money that was meant to renew the infrastructure wasn't spent on infrastructure. And that is how we're in the position that we're in today. Whether reprivatising it and getting the government in, I don't know. It would certainly be something I'd have to look at seriously. But This is not a problem that has got a simple solution. Rather than privatising, there could be other solutions. And I think this is time for a roundtable discussion about how we really do address. And you know, you've put your finger right on it here. I think, sewage into the seas, sewage into the lakes, sewage into our rivers and streams. We have got a big emphasis now on eliminating phosphates and making our rivers nutrient neutral. There's got to be a lot more work. There's got to be a lot more joined up thinking. And the water companies just simply have to be held to account because this is scandalous.
The company says the bill hike will lead to improved performances and infrastructure. A Kent MP is calling on the government to make it mandatory for businesses to display the correct food hygiene ratings. It's after we told you a number of restaurants and takeaways in Maidstone were misleading customers or not showing any score at all. Chatham and Aylesford's Tris Osborne says a lot of people will find it shocking.
I was surprised and a bit shocked, actually, as a user of takeaways in Medway, and many of my friends and residents around here do as well. They come to trust these FSA ratings out of five, and they assume that the displays that are on restaurants, if they're present, are accurate and reflective of actual assessments that have been conducted by authorities. So it did come as a surprise that not all restaurants are displaying these, and some are displaying inaccurate information, which means that their food is not as safe as perhaps they're saying that it is.
Do you think it's disappointing that it's not mandatory here in England?
Yeah, so if you look across the country, there's a bit of a mixed situation happening. In Wales and Northern Ireland, it is compulsory to have to display Food Standards Agency displays and accurate ones. So why is it that England is different? And certainly I've asked some questions through public written questions in Parliament to challenge that and to see if we can get some equity across the country, which I think is only fair for all restaurant owners. So I'm hopeful that they'll take into account the fact that there's an inequity within this space. There's also a responsibility to the public to ensure that there are robust standards around food quality. And lastly, so that people can trust that when they go into a restaurant or get a takeaway, that they know it's going to be of a particular quality and not end up with food poisoning or other types of issues.
How needed do you think this is to have mandatory food hygiene ratings on a window?
Well, look, I think given it is a regulated space already, and we do see a statutory FSA response in Wales and Northern Ireland, I think there should be equity. I'm not asking for something that doesn't already exist. Many restaurants already do the honourable thing and display their ratings and put it in the window. Many also do that when it comes to advertising in also other public spaces such as on Just Eat and Uber Eats. So the reality is that there needs to be a consistent standard applied so that people can get trust. Otherwise, it undermines the entire concept of a standards rating if people can just ignore it or put out false information about what they've got.
The government's confirmed they will consider making it mandatory in due course.
Kent Online News.
We're being encouraged to look after our mental health this Christmas and to reach out for support if we're struggling. It can be a difficult time of year for many who might be overwhelmed with financial stress or separated from family. Tim Woodhouse is from Kent County Council. He's been chatting to Nicola.
Christmas can be a great time for many people, but as you say, it's hard for some, whether they're missing relatives, missing friends, loved ones, or suffering kind of financial worries with all those pressures around kind of buying gifts and hosting people at the festive time. So we're just reminding people that actually, firstly, it's okay to look after yourself. You're not being selfish, just to take a bit of time out and look after yourself, whether that's getting some exercise, going out for a run, looking after yourself, curling up, watching a movie. But actually, sometimes for those people who do need a little bit more support, reach out. And try and get that conversation going. Talking about your mental health is really important. So if you've got someone, a really good friend, family member you can speak to, then great. But if not, there are support services out there that anyone in Kent or Medway can ring or text anytime, day or night, to start that conversation about what's going on in their life.
You mentioned there about people looking after themselves. I guess some people might feel that actually they do want some time out and they do want to be on their own, and other people think, oh, they worry about them, or think, oh, you've been really antisocial. It's tricky. It's a tricky balancing act, isn't it, sometimes, to give people that space that they actually need, maybe to clear their head a bit.
Yeah, it is a balancing act, but actually there's no harm in asking the question and just finding that out. So what we encourage everyone to do, if you think there's someone struggling, just ask the question, how are you doing? And don't allow them to just ignore it and go, oh, I'm fine. Ask again. No, really, how are you doing? And that sometimes just asking that second time just gives people the permission to open up. And then they're happier to talk about what might be going on in their life. Yeah.
And what sort of things should we perhaps notice about ourselves? Because we may bottle things up and we may not realise we're struggling until it gets to a bit of a head. What sort of things could we perhaps notice about our own behaviour that would give us a bit of an indication that we need to take some time out?
So I guess it's any change in your normal behaviour. If you're finding yourself being a bit more grumpy, a bit more tired, not eating as well as you would do normally, over snacking. It's easy to over snack at this time of year. It's easy to drink too much at this time of year. But those can all be kind of warning signs that maybe you do just need to take a step back and either look after yourself in the ways that you know that kind of get you back going again, but also kind of reach out for support. And as I said, there is some great support services out there. They're available 24 hours a day. So it doesn't matter if you're lying awake at night trying to get to sleep and you can't, then you can reach out either by the phone or by text message to speak to someone, trained volunteers who can talk to you about anything.
Yeah, tell us a bit more about the Release the Pressure campaign, because that's been going on for quite a while now. How does it work? And tell us a bit more about those wonderful volunteers who are on hand.
Yeah, so Release the Pressure, it's a great campaign. As you say, we've been going for many years now. And at the heart of it, there are two services. There's a 24-hour phone line, 0800 107 0160, with trained volunteers who are willing to talk to you about anything, anytime, day or night. But there's also a 24-hour text-based service. So if for some reason you don't want to talk on the phone, or other people being around makes it difficult for you to open up on the phone, there's a great text-based service. So just text the word shout to 85258. Again, anytime, day or night, there are people at the other end who are willing to and keen to just talk you through anything that you might be going through. And both services are completely free to anyone in Kent and Medway.
They've set up the Release the Pressure campaign, which has a dedicated text and phone line where you can chat to trained volunteers 24 hours a day. The NHS Trust behind two Kent hospitals is bringing in new park and ride services for staff, visitors and patients. It's hoped the free shuttles will ease congestion around both Maidstone Hospital and Tunbridge Wells Hospital in Pembrey. It comes as bosses say they're dealing with a growing number of patients and the scheme will help increase capacity. Organisers of Deal A Boxing Day Dip are planning an event on dry land this year after the swim was cancelled due to poor water quality. Volunteers will gather by the pier on Thursday and can have a bucket of cold water thrown over them to raise money for charity. It's only the third time the dip's been cancelled since the tradition started in 1981. Bosses say work on a new 4,000 home development in Canterbury is on track to start next year despite a delay for the final designs. Council have confirmed they don't expect to receive the finer details of the Mountfield Park scheme, including the layout, scale and design until the next financial year. House builder Corinthian says they'll have spades in the ground in 2025 and are working to meet their deadlines. Some good news for drivers today. Operation Brock has been removed from the M20. The contraflow was put in place between Maidstone and Ashford last week to deal with Christmas getaway traffic. The motorway is now back open as normal.
Kent Online News.
A disabled man from Ashford has been left angry after bin men repeatedly failed to close his garden gate. Kevin Johnson has suffered two collapsed lungs and a stroke. He struggles to walk to his gate after the weekly collection and had asked council to make sure it's shut. The 51-year-old says it's been going on for a year and a half and has caught the culprits on CCTV. Council say they are investigating. A Maidstone-based homeless charity is appealing for donations to help provide extra support this Christmas. Homeless Care runs a day centre in Knight Rider Street and cares for around 312 rough sleepers a month. They're hoping to provide food over the festive period and have already handed out 88 parcels so far in December. More double yellow lines could be painted on roads in Maidstone. The council's considering the idea of preventing parking on South Street and Tunbridge Road in Barming and Castle Road in the main town. A consultation's running until mid-January.
Kent Online News.
The son of a Kent firefighter who died in the Barming Hospital fire has been presented with a new medal created to recognise those who'd given their lives in the course of duty. Leslie Pearce was one of three people killed when part of a building collapsed on the site in 1957. His son Peter, who also became a firefighter, was given the Elizabeth emblem by the King at a ceremony at Windsor Castle. A five-year-old girl from Rochester has helped decorate Queen Camilla's Christmas tree. Maisie Reed has a rare condition called Rett syndrome, which affects the way her brain develops. She was joined by a nurse from Medway Maritime Hospital for lunch at Clarence House after being invited by Roald Dahl's Marvellous Children's Charity. Canterbury Panto star Maisie Smith says she'll be spending Christmas Day with her boyfriend Max George, who's in hospital. The wanted singer's had heart surgery 500 miles away from where she's performing in Beauty and the Beast at the Marlowe Theatre. She's admitted it's been difficult to juggle her commitments. Last Christmas by Wham has been named as Christmas number one on the Kent Top 40. It beat Fairy Tale of New York by The Pogues, which was number two on last night's chart show. People Watching by Sam Fender was number three. And if you missed it over the weekend, Katy Perry has revealed plans to come to Kent. She was asked about it by a fan during a recording of her concert special in London. Her partner, Orlando Bloom, was born in Canterbury.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham had to settle for a point after a two-all draw with Cheltenham in League Two on Friday night. Almost 5,000 fans watched on at Priestfield as George Lapsley came off the bench to score the equaliser. Here's Mark Bonner speaking after Friday night's result.
I thought it was a good game. I thought it was a good game, entertaining game. We had a real good go. We've had a lot of chances in the game. I think we were the more likely to win the game. One right at the end as well. And there's parts of it we're really pleased with, parts of it we're disappointed with. Overall, I think we're... The lads are disappointed, frustrated with what we conceded, and also the fact that we haven't taken 3 points from the game, because it's probably a bit of an opportunity missed for us, that. I'm really pleased that we've kept a little run going, which I think is real key. And what we haven't done enough this year is, if we couldn't win, we got beat too often. So I'm just pleased that we've kept the total going and got another result from it. And there are times tonight where we look really good. So it's promising going into a busy spell where more and more players are coming back. So yeah, I enjoyed the game. I thought it was quite eventful. I thought we could have won it, but I'm really happy we didn't lose it. I didn't like the build-up to their first goal. I thought we were passive in lots of our defensive moments. And then he just hit a worldie of a free kick. So you just have to accept that. But I can't accept the bits that led to it. And then I hated how we started the second half. I thought we lacked intensity. I thought the second goal we let in is absolute toilet. And we don't normally let in goals like that. So that's really disappointing in terms of our connection, in terms of our intensity to land on a ball, in terms of our recovery speed, in terms of affecting players in and around the goal mouth. We've left a centre forward a free header in the box. Like, you just can't do that. But what we've done a couple of times recently when we have conceded is we've responded well, and I liked how we responded, and we obviously changed quite a few things and quite a few times within the second half, and looked threatening. I like the atmosphere in the stadium. I like the team were really driven. You could just see the body language of a team chasing, wanting to try and nick the win, and there were times where we may have deserved that as well, but the moment at the end, how he hits the crossbar, it's a brilliant effort, and it doesn't quite go where we want it to. It just falls right into the goalie's hands. There's probably a couple of those moments tonight, even in the first half, where we've got good numbers in the box and it don't quite bounce where we want it to, but our two goals were really good ones. Nev's part in both goals was exceptional, and Hutt's in the second one, his ball down the side, Nev's cut back, George Laps is a brilliant finish, and the first one as well, Jaden again, like off of a Nev strike from a good ball carry where he's made good distance up with the game. So yeah, I was really pleased with lots of parts of it, and as always, there's loads of little things tomorrow we'll talk about and show, because For all the good stuff, there's a handful of moments why we don't win, and they're the bits we have to really focus on. But we also have to just keep the good vibe and the good energy going from another decent performance and an okay result.
The Jills are now ninth in the table. And briefly to ice hockey, and it was a mixed weekend for Kent's Invicta Dynamos in their double header against Slough Jets. They lost 7-3 away from home last night after winning 4-3 at the ice rink in Gillingham on Saturday. It was their final South Division 1 game before the Christmas break. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the brief. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.